Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Amen. Okay. Tonight, I want to share with you something that I had the Lord share with me, and that's exactly what I strive to do. Of course, share with the body of Christ what God is sharing with me to share with God's people. And the Lord told me, he said that in 2020, there was going to come a premium view. And in this premium view, it was going to require a premium price. And with this understanding, we know that 20 is a biblical number that speaks of restoration. And can I just be honest with you tonight? I believe that this year is more than just about perception in the sense of vision, 2020 vision, clarity of vision, things of this sort. And God wants us to be able to see in a time where most people can't. In fact, I'll be honest with you. The Bible tells us in Psalms 139, with God, day is like night and night is like day. So whether it be a dark season, in God's eyes, it looks like the day. So we can have this same kind of perception in a time where others are looking for direction. And this is a time of restoration. And 20 is a very interesting number. It speaks of not only restoration, but like a double portion, 2020, a double portion of redemption. And I've been telling the body of Christ, I really feel that it's the word of the Lord for the business people in the body of Christ. Because, you know, the enemy will normally hit you with his best before something great is ready to break out. And I just want to just let you know that business people, revival always starts in the marketplace first. It's Deuteronomy 8 and 18. God gives you power to obtain wealth that the covenant of God might be established. So I've been trying to tell business women and businessmen that you're going to flourish in a time of a downtrend. You're not going, listen, folks, you don't sow seed on the mountaintop. You sow seed in the valley. Okay? So I want to encourage you. This is not a time to waver. This is not a time to get distracted. This is a time to be filled with 2020 vision and understanding that we are in a time that God is, you can go ahead and test him. Because the Lord kept telling me, he said, son, he said, I'm going to do more than just rebuke the devourer for my people's sake. I'm going to do more than just open windows and pour out blessings in which they cannot contain. But tell them that they are in a vine casting time. That means that the vine will not cast its fruit before its time. And I believe that God has set up finances in this hour, not only to sustain us, but gives us men like Joseph that will have dreams and visions and know how to not only save the world, but also navigate the body of Christ in a time of famine. So I think that the body of Christ is getting ready to see a tremendous increase financially when it comes to businessmen and businesswomen. In Matthew chapter 15 tonight is where our text will begin, and we're going to start reading in verse 29. Jesus departed from there and skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up on a mountain and sat down there. A teaching went through the body of Christ about 10 years ago on the seven different mountains of God. And can I just tell you that it's time for the church to understand that we're supposed to be in every lane of life. I believe that the body of Christ should be in government. I believe that the body of Christ should be in business. I believe that the body of Christ should be business owners and working all different types of occupations. Why? Because we are deployed to be a soul-winning machine. We are here to lead the lost to Christ. I was in Wawa just the other day, and a young lady, I just handed her a tract and told her that, hey, look, Jesus loves you. Is there anything that I can pray with you about? And she said, well, nothing, not that I can think of. And then I went back in a couple of days later, and she stopped me, and she said, when you offered prayer, the Holy Spirit pricked my heart. And she started weeping. And she says, I'm away from God. I was able to lead her back to Jesus, got into a word of knowledge, began to minister to her. And when this thing breaks, we're going to disciple her into the house of God right here at Crystal River Church of God. So understand that whatever lane of life you're in, Jesus is already at the top of your mountain waiting on you to join him. Okay? And then the Bible says a great multitude came to him. And I got a feeling that when people start finding their place where they're supposed to be, that's going to send a release to those that need to be coming into the house of God and coming to Christ. It's going to give them a liberty to be able to do so. There's going to come a great draw, a great demand on that vacuum, okay? So the Bible goes on to say, then a great multitude came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking and the maimed made whole and the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And if I were to finish reading the rest of the text, and I won't because of time, what we would find that after Jesus did this, he basically told his disciples, he said, these people have been with me for 3 days and I don't want to send them away hungry. What do you have? And they looked at Jesus and they said, Jesus, well, all we have is 2 fish and 5 loaves and there's 4,000 people here. And Jesus said, well, just give me what you got. Understand this. It's not that they didn't have the money to go out and buy the provision. They just didn't have anywhere to purchase it. So I want you to understand that God's people, how many realize that what Peter said to the man of the gate called Beautiful, money had nothing to do with the equation. Okay, money couldn't bring this man a miracle, all right? He said, but what I do have, I give you freely in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So it wasn't that these disciples didn't have any money, they just didn't have any way to purchase the necessity to be able to feed the crowd. And Jesus said, that's okay, just give me what you have. Give me what you have. And see, there's a lot of people in church today. They want to do something for God, but they don't feel that they have anything to offer. Just give God where you're at and what you have. And watch what God will do with what you can't do. Okay, driving over here tonight, the Lord began to speak to me about the talents, the teaching in Matthew 25. And he said, son, he said, that teaching is not so much about potential as it is perception. Okay? Understand that the man that got the one talent had just as much potential as the one that got the 5. It's just his perception was different. Okay? Understand that your perception is your reality. And it's time for you to look at yourself the way God looks at you. Don't look at your shortcomings and don't look at what you don't have and what you think you need to have to do something for God. Just give him where you're at and what you have in the moment and watch God do a miracle through that. Would that be all right? Amen. So I want to encourage you. What Jesus has done here is he has set his disciples on the front row of a 3-day miracle and healing crusade. And what he has done is he's given them a bird's eye view of what it's going to take to see their lives changed in the moment so that they can be ministers of the future. I believe with all my heart that what we're dealing with right now is a fresh opportunity to capture in the moment, to understand that God has given us the mind of Christ and given us the divine nature of God and given us the counsel of his word, the leading of his spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he has also given us to something called the fruit of the spirit. Please understand this. What you can do in a time like this, seeing that 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. So where does your sound mind come from? It comes from love. Where does your power come from? It comes from love. So what we can do in a time like this, that is nothing more than a trial that's really going to be your testimony. This is nothing more than a test and an open book test that's going to pan out for your triumph. What do you do in a time like this? You let the Holy Spirit show you the fruit of the Spirit and let it parallel the condition of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then you look at it in the perspective of not getting into condemnation, but getting into an understanding that I might need to be influential in long suffering. I might need a little more influential, being influential on the joy of the Lord or wherever it might be. All this is an alignment time of God showing us where our soul really needs to be in agreement with the fruit of the Spirit. Please hear me tonight. When the fruit of the Spirit is your sensors, discernment is at its best. You know what? All right, Bishop, I will, sir. When the fruit of the Spirit is your censer, discernment is at its best. What does that mean? It means that you can spot motivation. When somebody is not operating in love, you can spot it. When somebody is not operating in joy, you can spot it. When somebody is not operating in peace, you can discern it. You can spot it because it's your censer. You've taken the time to align your soul with the fruit of the Spirit, and you're coming into agreement with the divine nature of God, and you're beginning to realize that all things are becoming possible if you'll just let God get in the middle of that thing and direct that thing and navigate you through the storm of that thing and show you that with Him, you can rise up and do great things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So they're changing in the present so that they can be ready for the call of the future. What if this year and in this moment right now of this year, this was nothing more than a trial run? Okay? So I want to encourage you, it's time to prep. It's time to start elevating. It's time to start maturing. It's time to start discerning correctly what is really taking place and how quickly something like a nation being shut down and completely governed by authorities outside of the authority of God can happen within a split second. There's coming a day and there's coming a time. And I'm not saying that we're in that day or in that time, okay? So Jesus made sure that these guys understood exactly what it was going to cost them as they begin to reproduce his life. You know, when I look into the Bible, the first thing that I see is I see a life to live. This is the life that I want to live. I want to have my nature renewed. I want to be mature in my Christianity. I want to walk in a presence. I want to walk in power. And I want to walk in such a way that people want to come to Christ as I try and be an example of his life. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, this is what God told Moses. Moses, I'm inviting you to join me where I am. Now, what you have to do is you have to take off your sandals, Moses, because the ground that you're on, you've never been on before, and it's different than where you've been. Okay? It's something called holy. One of the Hebrew words for the word holy means to be a cut above. And I really believe with all my heart that all this moment is an invitation to take a step up, to be a cut above, to be different than the way we were before this happened. This is an opportunity to be revealed. This is an opportunity to see. This is an opportunity to capture. This is an opportunity to become. So Moses, what I need you to do is I need to have you leave your former walk behind and join me on ground that you've never joined me on before. And then what I'll do is I'll turn you loose to go back to Egypt and take signs and wonders and miracles to the world. I feel in my heart that something is ready to break. I feel in my heart that there are Moseses on the rise, Joshua's on the rise, leaders that are on the rise, that they they're not looking for popularity, and they're not looking for the purse of what can happen in ministry financially. What they're looking for is they're looking for the presence and the power of God that will change people for the glory of the Lord. Same thing happened in the life of Joshua in chapter 5 and verse 15. God told Joshua, hey, look, you got to take off your sandals. It's an identity of sonship because servants didn't wear shoes, only sons do. Amen. So we're talking about an identity here. And I believe with all my heart that we are in a moment, a prophetic moment of identifying the sons of God. And I will tell you, creation is groaning for you to manifest like Moses did, manifest like Joshua did. Creation is groaning for the only thing that's been redeemed from the curse to come forth in the likeness of redemption and begin to spread the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, take off your former walk. Take off maybe even your own identity that's been in the past, and let me show you that you're a cut above and you can join me on ground that you've never been on before, and you can do things that you've never done before, because I'll introduce you to somebody that I only know you really are. See, the good news about being born again tonight is that God knows who we really are. He knows things about us that we don't know about ourselves yet. So we've got to understand that this is nothing more. I love what I've heard in the past. I'm the older pastor that attends this church, Pastor Cash. Yes, I'm so If you're watching tonight, I apologize. But he hit me between the eyes one night when he said, hey, look, God didn't deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. He just joined them in it. He didn't deliver Daniel out of the lions. Then he just joined Daniel in it. Can I encourage you? I got a feeling that God's smack rat dab in the middle of this, and he's trying to flag us down and show us how he would walk out of it and walk us through it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? So I think that our hearts need to change before our attitudes do. How many realize you can always tell when somebody's attitude is different? And it only happens when their heart changes. So please understand as I run through this quickly, Matthew was martyred by the sword in Ethiopia. Mark was martyred in Egypt by being dragged to death by horses. Luke was hung in Greece. John the Revelator, well, they tried to boil him in oil and kill him, but they found out he wouldn't die, so they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. He wrote the book of Revelation, summoned back in his later life, and died of old age in the house of God. Peter crucified upside down on a cross. James, the one that they said had camel's knees because of the calloused pads on his knees because he was such a man of prayer, was thrown over a 100-foot cliff. James of Zebedee was beheaded, and Bartholomew was whipped to death, and Andrew was crucified upside down. Thomas was stabbed. Jude was shot by arrows. Matthias was stoned, and Paul was beheaded. And what I feel in my heart is this: these men's hearts changed and their attitudes and their mindsets changed in such a way that they were willing to die for this cause. This is what this hour is identifying, those that have this type of commitment. Where are the pilgrims of the hour? Where are the ones that are looking for their author and their maker? Where are the ones that are looking for a kingdom that has no end? Where are the ones? You see, there's a lot of people that they're easy. It's easy to flow in the moment when everything's all right. But who you really are begins to elevate when you get isolated. Okay? What you do in private is what you're going to do in public. That's just the way it is. So understand that God is wanting to change our minds and change our mindsets so that you and I can begin to live for what we're willing to die for, and that is a correct reproduction of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen and amen. I encourage you tonight, the Lord began to deal with me in July of last year about this year. And he told me, he said, son, I'm getting ready to show you how I look at things. And I got excited. I got excited, Bishop. I really did, until I found out that he was talking about me. And I said, Father, what are you talking about? And he said, son, he said, I have to show you the condition of your heart in hopes that you would be willing to change your heart so that I could use you to see the way I want you to see beyond what is blinding you. And I'll be honest with you, I had picked up some attitudes along the way. And the Lord was dealing with me about these things and asking me to clean the camp, you know, sweeping in the corners and making sure that the pure hearts see God, Matthew 5 and 6. And the Lord began to deal with me about this, and he said, son, he says, you've got attitudes that are it's trying to lock you down. And here's the thing, you can never move too far away from where you're hurting. I preach it like this, you can fake it until you can't make it. Okay? And I'm not somebody that just wants to go through the motions. I'm somebody that will deal with what is on the table because I believe that a real relationship should never be on the table. I believe in honesty. I believe in being transparent. I believe in being pure-hearted. So the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, son, he says, you've got some attitudes, and it's trying to lock down your soul. See, a lot of people think that, you know, when they look at the life of Israel and the law and their traditions and so on and so forth, they think that their minds were locked down and born-again, spirit-filled, blood-washed people never get into this state of mind, never get into this condition of life. Well, can I tell you something? I know a lot of people in the body of Christ today that are born again, spirit-filled. Their name is on the roll of heaven. They're going to go there when they die. But because of the condition of their heart, they're not going to make the impact that they could make if they were just willing to offload some things. Let God change some things. Let God introduce himself so that he can bring about some change. Somebody help me tonight. Amen? So we've got all kinds of buzzwords in the body of Christ right now, like, you know, we're in a new reformation and things of this sort, and And I believe in reformation. I thrive on reformation. But the Lord told me, he said, son, he said, really what's going to happen this year is I'm going to engage my people. And I'm very excited about that. I really am. I can only imagine what's going to take place. So I think that we're in a time where God is wanting to do something fresh, not so much in our spirit, but in our soul, in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says, a double-minded man ought to expect to receive anything from God. Right? The Bible goes on to say this, that the purification for a double mind is found in chapter 4 and verse 8. Purify your souls, ye double-minded. Somebody help me. Mark chapter 9 verse 24 says that a man brought a demon-possessed child to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, he said, if you can help me, I want my son to be healed and I want him to be delivered. You see, from his youth, and I want to be very sympathetic towards people tonight, because what we fail to realize in this storyline is that from this young man's childhood, a demon would try and drown him in the water and thrust him into the fire and try and kill him. And he said, he's been like this since I can remember. You know, there are people that live under the anguish of life, people that live under the tyranny of hardship, and they've come out of rough backgrounds, and they've come out of poverty, and they've come out of addictions, and they've come out of, you know, verbal abuse situations. And how many realize that you know, people that are steeped in sin are not always the ones that are, you know, peddling drugs or prostitutes. They can be in the homes of the CEOs.
Yes, sir.
I have found out that people are people, and it doesn't matter who they are, whether they are on the top of the rung or whether they are at the very bottom, they still have the same problems. And he said, Jesus said, I need some help, and I brought him to you for help, and if you can help me. And Jesus stopped me and said, no, wait a minute. It's not if I can help you. It's if you will believe that I can help you. And I love this man's response. This man responded, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Can I tell you something? In a time like this, no condemnation to anybody that's viewing. I guarantee you there are people that have been double-minded. Pressure, stress, oppression, lack, lean times, all these things have tried to pull us away from the influence of the Holy Spirit, trying to pull us away from the influence of the fruit of the Spirit. Can I encourage you? Remember, when the fruit of the Spirit is your censers, when the fruit of the Spirit is paralleled with your soul, that's when we have an opportunity to put everything in proper perspective. So I want to be very careful, and I want to be very sympathetic. Every one of us are going to have opportunities to be double-minded. But I am thankful that when we get into that double-minded state, we can shake ourselves and say, no, I can purify my heart. No, I know that God has seen me through in the past, and he's an ever-ready present in the help, and he's going to see me through today. Amen. I'm thankful today that he is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm thankful today that 3 John in verse 2 says, brethren, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I got a feeling that we're about ready to break out financially. I got a feeling that we're about ready to break out with miracles, signs and wonders, and great displays of God. They that know their God shall rise up and do exploits, Daniel chapter 10. And I got a feeling that it has everything to do with how God can influence the soul of the church in this year of 2020 vision and double portion restoration. So hear me. The Lord started talking to me. He said, son, he said, if Spotify and if Google requires their employees to fast, then I think that God's people, I think that my people should spend a little time fasting too. And they found out in the corporate world that when you fast, when you restrain from food, your thinking is clearer. So the corporate world is asking these people to fast so that they can be on the, be creative and lead in industry and things of this sort. And here is the born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled people that serve the God that knows what's next. And I got a feeling, Arthur, that this is what's going to happen in this year. And from this year going forward, the Lord said, son, be very careful about how you paint on this canvas this year. Because if you do it right, the painting will last the rest of the 9 years of this age.
Come on.
This decade. I said, all right, God, tell me how to paint. And the Lord said, son, he said, encourage my people to let me heal their mind, their will, and their emotions. Can I just prophesy over you tonight? Can I tell you that if you have struggled with anxiety, that's going to break. If you have struggled with depression, that's going to break. If you have struggled with oppression, that's going to break. Whatever attack has come against your mind, your will, or your emotions, God has got this thing in its crosshairs, and this is the year that he plans on assassinating what has tried to assassinate you, says the Lord. Would that be okay? Amen. So I want to encourage you with some thought tonight. God is so committed to our success that he keeps his end of the bargain, even when we don't keep ours. Okay? Please understand that in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, it says the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, referring to the church. So please understand that while we're here, we have an obligation to be good thinkers, sound thinkers, mind of Christ thinkers, led of the Spirit thinkers, paralleled with the fruit of the Spirit and the influence of the fruit of the Spirit thinking people. Okay? We're not supposed to get bullied. We're not supposed to panic. We're not supposed to quit. We're not supposed to pout and give up. We're supposed to rise up in a time where everybody else is being shut down. We're supposed to be the light in the midst of the darkness. We're supposed to be salt of the earth. This is what we're supposed to be. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, we read a storyline about a centurion who understood authority. And I will tell you this, when we come through this school of the Holy Ghost, we're going to get ready to be introduced to a brand new influence of authority. Where you haven't had authority, authority is going to take over. Where you haven't really been able to illustrate authority, all of a sudden the illustration of authority is going to take over. Okay? So this Roman centurion said to Jesus, "Hey, I've been watching you. You don't need to come home with me. Just speak the word. I'm a man that deals with authority. I say to one, come, and he comes. And I say to another, go, and he goes. And all you have to do is just say something about this. Because as soon as you say something about this, this is when things are going to break loose and become what you declare. I understand the authority that you walk in." How many realize that there was a different story in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26, about a rich young ruler that came to Jesus? And he said, "Jesus," he said, "what do I need to do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, keep the commandments." And this man said, "Well, Lord, I have from my youth." Now, please hear this tonight. Jesus knows exactly what to say and what to do to get 100% effect. All right. So you know what he does, son? This is what he does. He says, "Listen, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor." And the scripture says that he went away sorrowful. He couldn't do what Jesus asked him to do. But what Jesus was asking him to do was setting the stage for who Jesus knew he was supposed to be. Do you hear me tonight? Okay? Please understand that Jesus said this. "I understand that you've kept the commandments from your youth. But read Matthew 19. And what you'll find, that he's, you know, the commandments that he kept were the last seven. He wasn't keeping the first three." And Jesus said, "Hey, look, my direction to your life is going to reveal where you haven't been willing to be compliant with what you need to be compliant with to be the person that you want to be. I understand that you want eternal life. And I understand that you're willing to keep seven out of the ten. And seven is the number that speaks of completion, but the first three speak of deity. You want completion? You better be surrendered to lordship." Okay? And what's the first commandment? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul." Second commandment is to love the Lord, or to love your brother just like you know, just like you love yourself and you love God. "And to have no other God before me." Actually, that's the first commandment, okay? But he was missing the first three. And this is what Jesus tried to show the guy. "Hey, look, you're like a camel carrying baggage from a previous destination. And until you are willing to get on your knees and unload this baggage from a previous destination, you're never going to get squeezed through the process to live life on the other side of what's trying to lock you down." So there's a surrenderance to lordship that God wants us to understand about the hour. Somebody give me a witness tonight. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a quick example, more of a New Testament way of looking at things. We are good at forgiving people, aren't we? We really are. Christian people are very good at forgiving people. But what Christian people are not good at is healing from what they forgave.
Amen.
And you can always tell when somebody has not healed from what they said they have forgiven. They can still be triggered by a moment. They still can be controlled by a previous time. And this is exactly one of the things that God is dealing with the body of Christ with. You really call me Lord? You really say I'm in charge? Let me deal with some of these triggers. Let me take off of you some of this baggage that you've carried from the past. Let me show you that you might not be as healed as you think you are. How many realize that Elisha had a prophet come by and say, hey, look, if you're with me, I'll throw my mantle on you and you'll receive a double portion. I got a feeling that this is exactly what this year is all about, a double portion, 2020, redemption. Okay, all we have to do is just align ourselves with what God is asking us to align ourselves with. Let me explain. How many realize that prior to Elijah introducing himself to Elisha, Elisha plowed the same field the same way with the same plow and the same oxen year in and year out? Let me encourage you, it is not time when we reconvene. Read Job 23. This is not a time for us to go ahead and not find God. This is not a time for us to look behind and not be able to perceive him. This is not a time for us to go to the left or go to the right and not be able to understand whether he's there or not. This is not a time for us to go back to skinny jeans and lights and fog. This is a time for us to reconvene and get things back in order where we need to get back into order so that we can start entertaining the presence and the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, amen. I don't want to keep plowing the same field the same way year in and year out. I want a prophet to come by and say, hey, you know what? On April 15th, a mantle came on me. And I'm telling you, as we worship tonight, I felt oppression that had gripped some of the people that were viewing tonight. I felt it breaking off of you. I felt somebody's back get healed tonight. I felt a number of things take place, even over the airways. We serve a God that neither knows time nor distance. He's right there. He's an omnipresent God. He's right there with you, like he's right here with us tonight. So I want to encourage you. We're not going to go back. We're going to go on. Somebody give me a witness tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You might say, well, how important is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is the benchmark of maturity. The fruit of the Spirit allows us to see how Jesus would look at things and feel about things and how he would address things. It enables us to look at things clearly. The Father gives us the fruit of the Spirit for a reason, church. You see, my friends, only God knows how long all of us have been in the condition that we've been in. And I've got a feeling that God is trying to use maybe even this time to shake us a little bit to say, you know what? I need to take my commitment to God a little more seriously. I need to seek his face a little more than I have. I need to burn the midnight oil and stay in the word. I need to pay attention to conviction. I need to rise up. The Lord just said this. Some of them need to get beyond being so easily offended. You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God that you go to a church that will preach the truth to you. You know how many churches out there? I travel. I go to 110 churches a year. I go to churches all over America. You know how many churches I go to? They don't even worship God right. And then they preach for, you know, seeker-friendly and politically correct, you know, conditions. And friends, you ought to thank God that somebody will tell you the truth, that will show you the Bible truth and what God wants to do in you so that he can do great things through you. Amen. So I want to encourage you tonight as I begin to bring this to a conclusion. I'm going to jump over a lot of this stuff. I've got too much on my plate tonight for one setting, and I'm thankful for the time that I have. But in 1 Corinthians 8 and 2, the Bible says, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Now, I am thankful for what I know tonight, but I am thankful for the introduction of him in my life tomorrow. Amen. And please hear me. Until we are willing to change, every one of us are a victim of a prophetic moment or a prophetic word. You might say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about something that's been spoken over you that hadn't happened. I'm talking about something that you have seen in your night life, your dream life, that has not taken place. I'm talking about something, a revelation from God's word that you haven't seen the full fruit of. This is what I'm talking about. And it has everything to do with the condition of our soul. Okay? So I don't want to be a victim of a prophetic moment or a prophetic time. I don't want to be waiting on in time for time. I want what I'm waiting for to happen. You see, the Lord just said this. The Lord said, tell them that Jesus had the Holy Ghost without measure because the Holy Ghost had Jesus without measure.
All right.
Okay? So I exhort you tonight as I close. How important is healing the soul this year? How important is a correct perception this year? How important is to properly align this year? This is how important it is. If our perspective of God is off, our thoughts and our feelings are off, and we won't represent him correctly because he can't represent himself to us correctly. And where we are broken, that's where things are blurred. Father, I pray for the viewing house tonight. I pray, Father God, for those that are wide open right now. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus prophetically for miracles to continue to flow. Father, where there are those that feel like we are under a Breslin heaven, I sense that we are under an open heaven. Father, pour out your goodness. Show yourself strong on the behalf of your people. And if you're viewing tonight and you have never given your heart to Jesus, it'll be the greatest decision that you've ever made. Simply pray that with us tonight as while we pray here. Say this with me, Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me of every sin, and I receive that forgiveness. Lord, help me to love you the way you love me. Thank you for saving me tonight. Father, I prophesy prosperity over your people. Open doors, you're a way-making God. I prophesy in Jesus' mighty name, miracles over your people. I hear the Lord saying this, that some of you are facing some legal situations right now. Things that you thought were done and over with are going to try and re-engage you and come back into your life. Right now, the Lord says, I stand between it and you. And I declare you free. I declare you victorious. I declare you to operating in authority. Command my hand into a matter and it shall be established, says the Lord. Expect great things, church. Expect great things. We're in a great time serving a great God. Amen and amen. Grace and peace, everybody. Thank you, Bishop.
Praise the Lord. Come on, just for just a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.